This is Kate Harness for 307 Net Radio, and today I'm spending some time with Stephanie Idowski. Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the thumbs up. what you can't see is that Stephanie gave me a thumbs up because I actually didn't butcher her name like I thought I was going to, so thank you for that. And we're going to talk about play therapy.
Yes.
Because you are a play therapist, and you're part of a team here in town that has a wonderful therapy center and so on. And the reason that we're going to talk about it is because from the 5th to the 11th of February, this coming week, is Play Therapy Week.
Yes.
Now, I think maybe a lot of people don't even know what play therapy is, so maybe you'd explain it to me.
Play therapy is therapy mostly used for children, and we just use a lot of toys in order to help a children through whatever their issue may be. Because one of the basic things that we learn is toys are the way children communicate.
Okay, so toys, you say toys, what sort of toys? Is it any toy? How do you pick a toy?
Well, a lot of our toys have very specific meaning. And so when we're talking about play therapy and toys, we often say that toys are selected and not collected. So we are very specific with the toys that we pick. So if we take a look in our playroom, you'll see toys that are the theme of power and control. So that could look like a sword, a knife, a gun, shield, those kinds of things. We have nurturing toys, which could be like cooking, baby dolls, bottles, those kinds of things. And then we have soothing toys, which are musical instruments, sand, things along that. And then even identity with dress up. So very different.
I've had a peek into your wonderful playroom, and it's an absolute treasure trove of some really amazing,
yes,
gorgeous toys to play with. You know, hard to keep out of there even as an adult. So tell me how play therapy works, because a child coming to you doesn't know that a sword necessarily is going to tell the story that it tells you. So how does it work as a therapist?
Well, children use their toys to talk, and so we just have to know how to listen to that. And so they know, I don't, unconsciously, what is going on with them and what their issue is and what needs to be resolved. And so they will gravitate towards those toys. And then the therapist in the playroom will have a lot of training to be able to recognize what themes are being used with the toys, and then will give therapeutic responses based on the themes that we see within their play.
So what kind of therapies are you seeing that need to be implemented? You've got kids who somehow or other find their way across your doorstep. There's obviously, I would guess, no typical child, because there's no typical person,
right?
And so there's no typical child needing a typical therapy. But so can you sort of just explain the kind of broad spectrum of ways in which this can actually be advantageous and a benefit? What sort of behaviors or problems are you seeing in kids that present themselves that then you can help work with through play therapy?
Well, I think there's the obvious of any kind of abuse. You know, we have children that are unfortunately in unsafe situations where they have been abused. So we do work with that. But there could be some behavioral issues that are being seen at the school or at home. And so it's really kind of any issue that is abnormal to that child, whether it is, you know, court ordered because they were taken from the home in an unsafe situation, mm-hmm, to a kid who's really struggling with bedtime, who's never struggled with bedtime before. Mm-hmm. So it can be those two things and anything in between.
Right. Okay. So, and does this work typically in certain kind of age groups? I mean, you know, I'd love to go and play in your playroom, but I'm an adult who feels secure now in sort of being older. Is there an age where kids don't want to play with toys anymore and it doesn't really work very well for them?
Well, we typically see kids from about the age of 18 months to 2 up to 10 to 12.
Right.
I have some 10-year-olds who don't want to go in the playroom anymore and will do a different kind of therapy, but I also have 12-year-olds who still do want to go in there. So that's about that rage. So age range. So, yeah. Two to about 10 or 12.
So I think, you know, we often think about therapy as being kind of what we've described as traditional talk therapy. Is there some of that in this as well?
I think there can be. But typically when we see, especially with the younger ages, if their trauma or their issue or whatever occurred when they were nonverbal, they aren't going to be able to talk about it. But unconsciously, their body will, or their mind will, choose what toy needs to be played with in order to heal.
And do you see success? Do you see, you know, child clients kind of, you know, just graduate out of your program, or are they with you for very long periods of time?
I think, as with anything, it's very child dependent. Mm-hmm. I have had children that I've worked with, you know, starting in kindergarten, and they're in sixth grade now, and I've seen them that whole time. And I have kids that I've worked with for a year or two when they were in kindergarten, and they're in middle school now, and they've come back. So sometimes it can be a long process. Sometimes it can be like, this issue is resolved, so we're okay for now, but then a new issue arises a few years down the road, and then they can come back. So,
and of course, you know, for children, they are dependent upon the adults in the homes in which they live in, and those are always changing environments too. And so what may have been good and stable for a while then maybe gets a little more shaky.
Absolutely.
For a bit, and there's a knock-on effect on a child that you may have seen and may have resolved a particular issue, but then you're back at the beginning. Would that be fair?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you. So success. What does success look like?
I think we kind of measure it as, you know, is the presenting problem still a problem? Or has the child learned how to properly cope with whatever that situation was? So, you know, if they were having trouble sleeping and now they're sleeping better, they have resolved that issue. We don't necessarily need to continue the work. So
if I was a parent and I was concerned or maybe court ordered that my child needed to come for therapy and they ended up here with play therapy, would I as a parent need to be involved in therapy too? Or how does that work? Do you offer family therapies here, or do you just really focus on those individual children?
We really typically focus on the children. I, as a clinician, really try to maintain open lines of communication between myself and the parents. But ultimately, the child still deserves and receives that confidentiality that, you know, what they're doing or what they may say.
So the child is your client?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know, and it depends on the age, but a lot of times with children, I will tell them, you know, I'm not going to tell mom and dad what we're playing or what you said in here, but if I think you're being hurt or, you know, something like that, then I do have to break confidentiality.
Sure. And I mean, I think one thing that has become increasingly clear over recent years is that these sorts of traumas and issues, you know, they don't know bounds of socio-demographic groups. They're not in particular types of people.
Right.
We're all human and we're all subject to
Absolutely.
To these difficulties, but that doesn't mean to say that they can't be resolved, and with help,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is perfectly possible too. So
yes,
I take encouragement from that. So it's Play Therapy Week. You're joined up as part of a national organization of some sort of play therapists?
Yes. So there is the Association for Play Therapy, which is kind of encompass everybody in the United States. And then there are local state branches. So I'm actually on the board for the Wyoming Association for Play Therapy, our Wyoming branch. And so we are just going to be spreading the word a lot during the next week, mm-hmm. and really just kind of pushing play therapy out there, letting people know what it is and how it's beneficial, and I just love it, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
I get excited,
too.
No,
I can tell you're excited by it, and I think it's wonderful. I mean, to me, it just makes intuitive sense that, you know, through toys, through play, you can see things that maybe you wouldn't be able to see
right.
in the same way through other forms of treatment, especially with children who
right.
maybe don't always have the right words. Or feel safe enough to share those words, but you can intuit so many things from them. How did you get into this?
Well, So I'm not originally from Buffalo. Okay. I'm originally from Michigan, but I was living down in Torrington working at a treatment facility while I was doing my master's program. And I was looking for a place to do my internship, and I found Rose Harriet's name mm-hmm. on the internet and reached out to her, and she had an opening to take on a supervisee. And so I came up here to do my internship with her and just fell in love with the area. I fell in love with play therapy, and I knew I just wanted to keep doing it.
And so. I know Rose and I have talked before about, you know, for 307 at Radio 2 about play therapy, and I know she's a huge advocate and champion for it. And there are now a number of clinicians here that are offering that. Am I right in thinking there are four of you that offer play therapy here?
Yes. So right now, Rose Harriet, Jamie Stressler, myself, and then Tempe McStay also are all offering play therapy. And I believe Shaney wants to at some point.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's Shaney McRae.
Yes, Shaney McRae.
Yeah. Who, it's pretty obvious now, she's going to have a baby fairly soon.
Yes.
So she will be out of the picture for a little bit. But,
yeah, but when she comes back, I think she wants to do some of that as well.
That's wonderful. So. Okay. So if somebody's interested in this, what can they do? Can they call you and just find out more? Are you very busy? How does it work? What would they do?
So, yes, we have a website, counselingandplay.com.
And I will make sure that the link to that is here, yes.
And so, yes, and then all of our phone numbers and emails are on there. You can always text, call, email. We are all pretty busy and on a waiting list right now, but anyone can always call and get put on that waiting list because we try to get through that as quickly as we can. We don't want people waiting a long time. So, okay.
And if you've been driving up and down Main Street, you are now in what was formerly the Goddard and Vogel offices in a wonderfully new renovated building. It's a wonderful space.
Yes, Luke and Marcia did an amazing job remodeling it in here and getting it ready for us to be able to use.
Yeah.
So it's really nice that we have two playrooms available in Johnson County now, because we do have people that, you know, come over from Campbell County or Sheridan County, even down in KC will come up. So it's really nice to have a second space to offer these services.
And that actually leads me to something which I don't think we should forget, which is this expensive? How do people pay for it? Is there insurance attached to it? Many people right now are struggling financially. Yes. Everything's more expensive, is it not?
Yes.
And doesn't it hurt?
It does hurt. So we do offer, or we do accept most insurances that, you know, are in the area. Blue Cross is one of the big ones. But we also do accept Wyoming Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So if your child is on Medicaid, we can see the services at no cost to the parent.
Okay.
And then we also offer, you know, fee negotiations, a sliding fee scale. Ultimately, we want to make this available to everyone. And so no one will be turned away because of their, you know,
so if you're worried, lack of insurance. If you're worried about being able to afford it, there's every chance that burden is going to be relieved and you don't need to worry. It's more important that you get yourself well or your child well.
Absolutely. And we will sit down with the parent too and help them. If they don't have Medicaid but qualify, we can help them, point them in the right direction for those services to be available and getting them set up.
Okay. Stephanie Adowski, thank you very much indeed.
Thank
you. Is there anything that you would like to add before we sign off?
No, I think it's just important to know that even though people say kids are resilient, they do need the help. And we offer that here in Johnson County. And I think it's a very important service to have and for people to be aware of. So.
Well, thank you so very much for spending your time. I may have to take a detour through your playroom on the way out.
Go for it.
Thank you very much indeed
for
your time.
So
I appreciate it.